This morning's reading will be taken from 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. That's 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. In addressing Timothy, Paul wrote in the first book and called him his beloved son, or true child in the faith. In the second letter to Timothy that we have recorded, he refers to him as his son as we begin 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules.
Thank you, Brother Don, for that reading from the Word of God in the second letter to Timothy. Thank you so much for being in our assembly today to worship God with us and to look into His Word. We know that God's Word will bless the lives of people if they look into it, read it, strive to understand it, and take it into their lives. What do you usually think of when you hear the word fight? Our common usage encourages us maybe to think of maybe a boxing match or a street brawl or an argument between a husband and a wife or something like that. And basically, as far as these types of fighting are concerned, they're a little bit out of context with what we find in our Bibles about the concept of fighting or a fight. It may surprise some to learn that Christians are actually commanded to fight, but not after the fashion which you see on the overhead. I certainly don't mean the kind of fighting that is done with fists. I mean the kind of fighting, for example, in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This is the type of fight that we're concerned about with Christians in the lives of Christians today. This is the type of fight that means to contend for something, to struggle with difficulties and dangers. It conveys the idea of agonizing for something. It's that type of contention, to agonize for it, or to enter a contest for it and compete for it. It is very much akin to what Luke said in his gospel in chapter 22 and verse 44, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, who being in agony was praying very fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling down on the ground. The agony of his prayer is very much akin to this fight or this contention or this struggle that we're talking about from a word that is used in our New Testaments. Christians are soldiers, and that really necessitates that we fight. And hence we have expressions in our Bibles like, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Note the characteristics of a good soldier in this passage. Suffer hardship, active service, a non-entangling service. If we think of soldiers and our military and associate that with our country and think about our USA military, our fighting men, and how ready they must be to protect our country against the invasion from foreign intruders. If they have allowed themselves to become weak and busy only with the things of what you and I might call housekeeping, inventory, experts may be at cleaning weapons, but not quite so good at using them, then they would lose their efficiency as a fighting force and possibly be able to fail in their attempts to defend our borders against invading armies. The fighting of the spiritual soldier is very much like that. Hence the admonitions of Paul to Timothy in this passage about being a good soldier and what's required if one is to be a good soldier, if one is to be effective as a soldier of the King. We could be ineffective, but we're admonished to be effective. This difficult struggle of contending with dangers that face us in this life truly is agonizing. What makes a soldier's struggle agonizing from a spiritual standpoint? Well, two things mainly, probably. Christians agonize because of the difficulties that sin presents to them in this life, and the flesh. We must be fighting our flesh and its fleshly desires to do whatever pops into our mind in a better way, to be controlled by something higher than that. So that's a struggle for us. And we also have a great and powerful enemy that we must fight. And that enemy is the devil or Satan, who walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, to use the words of 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. We have an aggressive enemy, and so we must be that much more keen to meet that aggression and to be successful in our fight against it. So in this lesson, let's notice some things that we must fight for as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. In the first place, we must fight the temptations that are thrown before our faces and laid down in our paths as we walk in this life. Temptations come too frequently by our own estimation, and it behooves us as good soldiers to be vigilant and to be ready to meet those challenges. We successfully fight temptation by first knowing what is involved in it. And James does a very good job of explaining that for us in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. James 1 and verse 14, "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust hath conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." And very much like the Apostle Paul, we should strive to keep our bodies under subjection, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. We successfully fight temptation, secondly, by looking for a way of escape. Paul told the Corinthian Christians in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it." There is the key, to press on to the endurance of it, to endure that temptation, to not fall under the weight of it, but to fight against it. As military training strengthens soldiers in the army, so it is with the Christian. The Christian's fight can have very sweet results. James talks about that in James 1, beginning in verse 2. James 1, beginning in verse 2, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we must fight against temptations in this life. That represents quite a challenge for each and every one of us. And so I think we all realize how important it is for us to be good soldiers of Christ Jesus, to rise to fight against the temptations in this life. Secondly, we have to fight the influence of the world. We have been delivered from this mold already. When Paul wrote to the Romans and said that I appeal to you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Not only has the good soldier suffered hardship and not in his not entangled active service, he has also presented himself as a living sacrifice and as a holy sacrifice, according to this verse, suitable for the kind of service for which he first enlisted. And I think that's important. The renewed mind does not make compromises with the devil, and he does not make compromises with the followers of the devil either. The renewed mind does not straddle the fence between truth and error. He learns the truth, and he stands for the truth. And sometimes that can be a fight, can't it? Faithfulness is the best weapon against the call of the world, and we must fight that beckoning call that sometimes sounds so very sweet to our ears. Come back to the world. But thirdly, we must fight a spirit of fear. There are some Christians that can be very fearful about their life situation, about what the future holds for them in whatever situation or predicament they may find themselves in this life. People may become worried and anxious, even about so many, very, very many things, even the basic necessities of life. And Jesus addressed that very thing in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. In Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25, he says, "Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on." In verse 26, he says, "Look at the birds of the air." And he goes on to say, "Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" And in verse 27, "And you who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life?" In verse 28, "Why are you worried about clothing?" he goes on to say. In verse 31, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." In verse 32, "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these will be added unto you. Do not worry about tomorrow," in verse 34, "for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And you know, if we live long enough in this life, we begin to realize the very truthfulness of that final phrase, "Each day has enough trouble of its own." Worry and anxiety will only rob you of your joy as a Christian. Fight the fear against not having what you need in this life. The Lord calls us to be courageous and strong in the faith. In 2 Timothy 1, in verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline." Jesus has given us even victory over the grave. So you and I, as Christians, do not have to fear death and what will come as a consequence of our own death, because we have a promise of the resurrection that is so wonderfully portrayed for us in 1 Corinthians 15. As we grow in love for God, we gain this confidence, preparing ourselves to meet God in judgment, losing the fear of shame and dread with its punishment for sins. Perfect love casts out fear, John wrote in 1 John 4 and verse 18. So we must fight the spirit of fear that can cripple us and steal our active service as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. In the fourth place, sometimes we find ourselves in a position where we're fighting pretty hard against discouragement. Discouragement is the first step to defeat, and it's so very easy to fall victim to this enemy. It happened to God's people when they were commanded to go into the promised land and take possession of it. They became discouraged in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 28. Note what the Lord had said in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 21. See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Or do not fear or be discouraged. They were to even encourage Joshua because he would cause them to inherit the land in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 38. How do we have the power to overcome discouragement? Jesus Christ gives us that power to overcome discouragement in that good will prevail over evil, and evil will not win. Truth will prevail over error, and error will not be successful. In 1 John 4 and verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have a power that God gives us, and his word contains great power to shape and mold our own personal faith and to lift others out of a cesspool of sin and help them to be righteous before God. There is a great power in the Word of God. Honest and good hearts will receive it, and they will grow thereby. Remember, in Gethsemane, Jesus could face the cross seeing the joy that was on the other side in Hebrews 12 and verse 22. He could do that. Think how terribly discouraged he could have allowed himself to be, to the point of defeat, had he contemplated all of the attending bad things that were coming to bear upon his life because he lived righteously and was presenting himself for a sacrifice to God on behalf of men. In view of these things, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, Paul admonished the Christians of that city, therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. Encourage one another, build up one another. So very important for us to do in our fight against discouragement. And maybe you're not a person who gets discouraged easily. But maybe there are others who are. And you can help them. And you can encourage them as you should. We must also fight against loneliness sometimes. This is one of the problems faced by very many people in our day. The Hebrew writer in chapter 4 and verse 16 said this, Hebrews 4 and verse 16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's where we can go, to find what we need, to fight successfully against the loneliness that sometimes overtakes us in this life. Loneliness in any brother vanishes when he sees himself not in his own little world, but when he comes to view himself as a servant to other people. Loneliness will dissipate very, very quickly. Galatians 5 and verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And I don't know of a thing that will kill loneliness any faster than taking that upon ourselves and living our lives to benefit others, and especially our brethren in the body of Christ. That is a fight we must make at times as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. Also, of course, we have to fight the false doctrines that are so prevalently around us in our religious world, in our society. It seems as if there is a false doctrine on every corner of our city. Matthew 7 and verse 15, even in the day of Jesus, he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves." Knowledge of the truth is a major weapon that we use against false doctrine and false teaching. It is the sword of the Spirit that we wield as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. In John 8, beginning in verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed on him in John 8 and verse 31, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You see, truth is something that you can know. And truth is something that has an effect when you know it. It makes you free. It makes you free from the shackles of sin. It has the power to do that. It makes you free from every false concept, every wild notion, every fairy tale of a religious nature that anyone in this life could speak to you. Because it's true. The Word of God is true. The good soldier of Christ Jesus will certainly be faithful to the teachings that he learns, the doctrine of Christ, the teachings that are to be entrusted to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. From our text, this is competing according to the rules in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we read at the beginning of our lesson. And of course in Jude 3, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing to you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. You see, didn't we mention when we were talking about what does it mean to fight in the context of the New Testament? Didn't we mention contending for something? And here it is again. We are to contend earnestly for the faith. In the fight against false doctrine, we must not confuse fighting false doctrine with fighting people. There is a difference. We love the souls of men and women in our society. We hate the false notions that they have adopted and come to believe that are in opposition to what God says in the Holy Bible. What can help us? 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Sanctify Christ Jesus as Lord in your hearts. And in so doing, Peter goes on to say, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you with gentleness and reverence. Because we reverence God and we reverence His Word. And we will happily and gladly share His Word with other people in a spirit of gentleness. And then finally, in thinking about things that we must fight, probably the biggest battle that you and I will ever face in this life is the battle against our own selves. Don't you think that's true? It's our biggest battleground. Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew 16 and verse 24, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. That's a tall order, isn't it? Especially in a society of people where we have been raised to believe that what is important in this life is looking out for number one. We have to go against the grain in denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him from Matthew 16 and verse 24. No easy task. And so it takes a fight, doesn't it? And it takes agonizing in that struggle, doesn't it? To overcome my own selfish will and let my own selfish will subject itself to the will of God. If it were an easy thing to do, more people would do it. And there would be church buildings on every block. And they would all be packed. There wouldn't be an empty seat in my house. But it's not an easy thing, is it? We must remember that the standard of acceptability is not how we feel about ourselves. Oh no. It is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends, according to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 18. Recall from our text this morning, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. He's not saying, don't be involved in everyday life. That is not what he's saying. We're all involved in everyday life. He's saying, don't be entangled in the affairs of everyday life. That's where the rub is. That's where the problem is. The emphasis is on wholehearted service. We must exclude from ourselves anything that would divert our attention and our fidelity to the one who enlisted us as soldiers. And that's Christ Jesus. That is our most powerful struggle in this life. And we need God's help. And we need the help of one another to overcome ourselves. Now, what about you today? Are you fighting the good fight of Christianity? Are you a good soldier in the service of our King? Are you fighting the good fight of faith, so that you may take hold of eternal life to which you were called? Are you fighting as a good soldier of Jesus Christ so that you'll not let that slip through your grasp? I hope that you are. Do you say what Paul said? I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. And in that condition, Paul could say, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith, and in the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. What about you? Is there laid up for you a crown of righteousness? Something for us all to think about on this beautiful day. If we can help you to enlist in the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, we'd be most happy to do that. But you must do it on his terms. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, with all of your heart. And in that belief, you will do whatever he says to enjoy the forgiveness of your sins. And those things are that you confess him before men. If you do not confess him, he will not confess you before his Father in heaven. Will you repent of sins? If you don't, you will perish. It's what he said in Luke 13 and verse 3 and other places. You must repent of your sins. You must change your mind about your sins. You must decide that you don't want to live in those any longer. You forsake those. You follow Christ. And you must be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. That's what baptism is. That's what baptism was in the days of the New Testament. Immersing people in water for the forgiveness of their sins. That's what was done under the direction of the apostles, the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, who after his ascension into heaven, carried his will throughout the entire world. They preached the same gospel in every place. We ask no more and no less than what was required of people when the gospel preaching began and the doors of the kingdom were open. We remain true to that calling today. If that's how we can help you today to enlist as a soldier in the Lord's army, we'd love to do that. If we can help you in any other way that will help you to walk closer to God when you leave this building than when you first came in, we'll pray with you, we'll pray for you, we'll do everything within our power to make your spiritual life stronger. And if we can help you this morning, please come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.